North Shore Today.
The area's only daily news podcast
on MSONewsSports.com.
With Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore, and this is North Shore Today for Wednesday, April 22, 2020.
Social distancing restrictions will continue for a while for Massachusetts residents.
So right now, people need to dig deep and stay put. Please only go out when you need to and wear a mask or cover your face in public, especially if you're in a position where you won't be able to physically distance. We are all in this together, Massachusetts, and we will come out the other side of it stronger than ever.
Governor Charlie Baker speaking yesterday and announcing that schools will be closed for the rest of the year. His reasons?
It's the right thing to do considering the facts on the ground associated with the COVID-19 pandemic. And at this point in time, there is no authoritative guidance or advisories with respect to how to operate schools safely and how to get kids to and from schools safely. We believe students, therefore, cannot safely return to school and avoid the risk of transmitting this virus to others. As we've said before, closing the actual school buildings for the year does not mean it's time to start summer vacation early. We're making this decision to allow school districts to plan through the end of the year to offer remote learning for all students. This includes students with special needs and English language learners. Massachusetts is home to some of the brightest students in the nation, and this pandemic has upended their lives as well. Being away from their friends, their teachers, their sports, and other important resources, for many of them, all of them, has been a terrible loss.
Governor Charlie Baker.
Dave Rogers is reporting in today's Newburyport Daily News. Almost 600 people signed an online petition calling for the temporary closure of Plum Island to everyone but residents, a response to what petitioners say is an invasion of unwanted visitors at a time when the governor is asking people to stay home. We are asking for the Newburyport Police Department to enforce the protection of our dunes as well as the safety of our health by eliminating the ability for tourists to congregate at Plum Island Point, disregarding current city and state mandates, according to the petition. Tara Kamet, a Newburyport resident who began the petition, said the plea was not about keeping people off the beaches, but making sure they respect the residents who live there year-round and adhere to recommended social distancing. She's quoted as saying, "We don't think we have a private world." Kamet said she and others would like to see a greater police presence along Plum Island Point on weekends and during other high-volume times, as well as better signs and even physical barriers. Again, she's quoted as saying, "The blinking light on Plum Island Turnpike isn't exactly deterring people." She sent a lengthy email to Newburyport Mayor Donna Holliday on Sunday imploring her to take action. That action could take place as soon as today, after Holliday said she would be meeting with city and Newbury officials remotely this morning to discuss how to move forward, knowing current measures are not keeping enough people away. In recent weeks, Newburyport and Newbury officials who share duties on Plum Island have been discussing the possibility of closing the island to everyone but residents, but such a move would prove daunting, according to officials. Much more in the story in today's Newburyport Daily News.
A follow-up from a story that we had yesterday. Julie Manganis writes in today's Salem News that a Salem Superior Court judge has ordered an accused fentanyl dealer who tested positive for COVID-19 earlier this month to return to jail after learning the apartment where he was staying is located in a senior and disabled complex in Beverly, and that GPS data showed that he had been coming and going from the building. Eric Jalbert's release plan is not viable in these circumstances, said Judge Kathleen McCarthy Nyman. She said at the conclusion of an hour-long hearing Tuesday, 1 week after she had agreed to a request to release him to live with his mother due to the pandemic. Much more on this story in today's Salem News.
From Tartalk.com, the State Senate gave approval to a proposal to authorize notaries to use electronic video conferencing. Based on a bill first proposed by Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr of Gloucester, the bill allows documents to be notarized using video in light of the social distancing requirements of the coronavirus pandemic. Under existing law, documents must be signed and witnessed in face-to-face meetings. Tarr told the Senate chamber there is a critically criticality to this bill that cannot be overstated because it enables remote notarization of documents that are vital to our lives and are particularly important at this challenging time. The bill, Senate 2645, an act providing for virtual notarization to address challenges related to COVID-19, will authorize the use of video conferencing to validate documents provided that all participants are located within the borders of the state. Notaries, of course, are state licensed and perform an official function of affirming that a document is authentic. More on the story at tartalk.com.
The city of Lynn has announced that 28 people total have died from COVID-19, 7 since last Friday. State Representative Peter Capano from Lynn and Nahant is concerned about the toll that the virus is taking, with businesses shut down and workers out of their jobs.
People, you know, when they need a paycheck. A lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, and you know, the stress that goes along with, you know, the virus itself, and then the economic uncertainty that they have because they're not receiving, you know, a check and not really sure if they're going to be able to get through and get it, especially in time to pay for the things that they need, whether that's rent or food or, you know, things like that. So, you know, that's probably what's been taking up the most time. You know, we've been doing a lot of conference calls to try to keep up to date and, you know, what's going on, you know, with the state and trying to, the virus itself is, you know, put a spotlight on, you know, where a lot of the cracks are in the system, you know, and they tend to show up more, you know, in a crisis situation, which we obviously are in.
State Representative Peter Capano. Capano was a guest Tuesday on Connections.
Sean Horgan writes, in today's Gloucester Daily Times, the market for their clams has all but disappeared into the swirl of the COVID-19 pandemic, and the prices for their live products have followed the same precarious spiral. For local commercial clammers, there is little good news right now. Sean Horgan continues, still, they dig on. On Saturday, with temperatures hovering around 35 degrees and a strong northeast wind pushing rain from the low scuttling clouds across the Jones River marshes in Gloucester, about a dozen diggers congregated in the dirt lot at the end of Stone Pier off Atlantic Street. If ever weather was an apt metaphor for misery, this was it. It's been tough, veteran clammer David Smith is quoted as saying. The clammers were back on Monday, which weather-wise was a bit warmer. The state-ordered ban on on-site dining has crushed the commercial seafood business, robbing it of the chief form for about 70% of its sales. It's created fault lines up and down the supply chain. Restaurants, even those valiantly trying to stay afloat with takeout and delivery, have slashed their orders to wholesalers. In turn, wholesalers have pumped the brakes on buying live product from harvesters, and everything stalls. Much more on this story in today's Gloucester Times.
You have been listening to North Shore Today, a daily news podcast produced by MSONewsSports.com. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us. Keep those emails coming. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. That's msonewsports@gmail.com. It's Wednesday. The sun's out. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.